Indeed, and we're back with the next episode of the Raiders Rambles. I am Jolt, chief host of the show, and joining me is none other than my awesome co-host, Avera.
Hello! Hey guys, this is Avera Nova, the orange candy corn doggo. I hope you're having a fantastic night, and looking forward to a good show, because we've got some crazy awesome stuff going on right now. Oh yeah, I'm hyped. Are you?
Oh, you know it.
Uh-huh.
Always. And joining us today is our interim host, Noble.
Boom arm is what I was referring to before. Yay! Mines can fall at any time and, like, hurt me or something.
See, I kind of did get just that with my brand new headphones. A microphone attached to it that has a little swinging arm. And a new pop filter that came with it already attached. So, even better.
Alright.
So, he is hoping everything just turns out. All the sound turns out for the better.
Yeah. Gotta love audio gear.
Yeah. Again, if I'm happy with these, I might end up buying a spare one and, you know, and passing around my old spare headset, which I had to put into retirement because the ear cushions decided to crap out.
Oh, you mean the exploding seam part? Yeah. I'm actually thinking about trying to DIY repair for myself.
Yeah, but only because Sennheiser don't make the actual ones, so you might have to get one from third party using Amazon.
Oh.
Yeah, that happened. Aren't they fun? Like, aren't they fun to get around and clean? Because you just, you just leave it for years and it's like, ew.
I generally don't seem to have that problem. I must be special.
Oh, you are special. AJ. 100%.
That's good then. Alright. Now, to start off this week's proceedings for what is and is still crazy, let's be real here in this world, here's what we've got for you. Okay. I need comics. Naruto and Bleach anime studio president rejects the idea that anime should conform to Western standards. Quote, if you make animation with that in mind, it will become increasingly boring.
You just know this dude's taking a jab at American cartoons.
Well, here's the thing, man. This isn't necessarily taking a jab at American cartoons, because American cartoons, they take inspiration from Japanese anime. Here's the thing, though. In Japan, they have their own kind of anime culture, and they don't want to be influenced by other Western type of stuff. I mean, sure they do, but not to that degree. So, if they were to try to make anime woke in Japan, that would not fly with the population. Nobody would care. I mean, let's be real. It doesn't fly in real life. But in Japan especially, they're just trying to go about their own thing. Like, if you make animation with that in mind, it will become increasingly boring. I agree. I don't know about you guys. What do you think?
I agree with that statement as well. Now I'm glad that he's finally come to that realization that this is what's happening. Mm-hmm. Because to give you a bit of background, I think you've also noticed that Western culture, or should I say, the not so good kind of Western culture, has been rapidly encroaching on Japan, and now they've been trying to, you know, whisper into these studios and saying, you might want to change your show to us to follow our standards, because otherwise our viewers might not like it.
Yeah, we need more DEI in Japanese anime.
This is where the whole woke shit basically becomes problematic. And a lot of people are going to disagree and say, oh no, it's the best thing ever. You know, we must move forward. It's like, no. anime has nothing to do with America. Now, if it's specifically made in America, made for American audiences, you know, different story. But when a show is made, it's usually made for the Japanese public. It's made for that community consumption. It's then converted to, well, something that Western audiences can actually see and understand half the time. But to make anime from its start purely for a Western audience, no. I'm sorry, but you're taking away what anime is and turning it into something completely different.
That's a very good point.
You're then ripping its soul out. It will look like anime, and you've got American cartoons that look like anime, but it's not anime. It doesn't have that texture to it, that feel, the essence. It's just basically a hollow shell of what it's supposed to be. And I don't want to see Japanese anime companies needing to resort to that sort of stuff moving forward.
That's a very good point, because anime, as you said, it implies it's more of like a niche, right? So people who are into Japanese culture and animation, anime is in itself kind of like a niche subject. But when it comes to Western animation, we have things like, you know, Family Guy, The Simpsons, stuff like that. So it's a completely different type of animation that people would be willing to get into.
And now here's the thing. Now what these the directors of these studios have been saying, that if these anime change their core identity in order to attract overseas audience, it'll become increasingly boring.
It will be. That's kind of what I was implying about the whole Family Guy thing. Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, like basically, what anime is it's comic books come to life. And yeah, you can say the same thing about Marvel, but that's a whole different situation, and because that's American culture.
Yeah, American culture for the American market, Japanese culture for the Japanese market.
Exactly.
And even then, like, you know, if you look at some of these statistics, that, you know, Naruto, a lot of video sales, 30% of them come from overseas audiences and overseas buyers. And even, yes, I know they do make up a good bit of the viewership, and there's a good business case to be made for selling it abroad, but not if you change the core of what made your anime so great to begin with.
That's one of those things too. I'm sure everyone has seen Avatar: The Last Airbender. No, that is an American cartoon broadcast on Nickelodeon that was inspired by anime. They have some anime-esque type of jokes or sort of scenes in there. The kind of style. Like, we get it. It's serialized. So stuff like that does permeate to Western culture. I get that. That's what it is. But there's also a lot of Japanese anime that is strictly for, I wouldn't say like strictly for, but like that culture, you know?
Mm-hmm. Besides, why should we be depriving the Japanese public of being able to watch, you know, shows that are made for them? I mean, what kind of useless? It's just the same thing. It's a political thing, but in Australia, some government git wants to turn around and blanket stuff so that nobody around the world can watch it, force other governments to ban material that we don't want. It's like, well, no, we don't have the right to do that. It's the same with this. Western companies or, you know, public do not have the right to go and demand how a Japanese company, you know, produces whatever.
I think you're correct about that. Here's the thing. Western companies are looking for profit, right? So they will see the popularity of anime and they're going to jump on it at any cost, because of course they would, right? That's why they broadcast Japanese anime on Western platforms. to make as much money as they can to appeal to a larger audience. That's what we've been seeing, especially with Netflix.
Now, here's what they've had to say, Mr. Honma-san. He says, quote, quote, "We don't make characters smoke in order to take some series overseas. We have to make the violence a little less violent and avoid sexy expressions. If Japanese animation is bound by such restrictions on expression, there is no way that people overseas will want to watch it."
Yeah.
This is a very good point. I'm sorry, but anyone who's watched The X-Files, there's the cigarette smoking man. The do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do crap that always came on when he was on scene.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, you're right.
That is special. And unfortunately, now here's the other thing. If this was for, like, people under the age of 18, then yes, there has to be a lot of restrictions. But with adults, it literally doesn't matter. There is no reason why you should restrict yourself to, like, child-type limitations for adults. There's no reason for it. As an adult, you have the choice of either watching something or not watching something. And if you're forced into it by your friends, well, that's your friends. This can exist. There are animes that I've seen that I don't like, and I've just simply switched off, and it's not all anime is bad. It's just like, eh, that's not for me. And that's how you need to treat shows like this.
Right. But that's the thing, too. You had the option to watch it or not. Like, you could if you wanted to. It's not like it's being censored explicitly. Right? Or is that what they're trying to do?
Well, no, censoring would be when it's imported into Australia, like with the original Naruto. I mean, holy hell. But when it comes to, like, the making of the actual show itself, you're doing the animations, doing the storyline, the original one, no. I mean, what was that Dragon's Maid one where the translations basically just pissed off the original creators and the voice actors and all that? the Japanese voice actors and the Japanese animators, when they saw just how they'd been sort of like ripping this, what they've been doing to the show. Remember that?
I mean, and that brings up another point as well, like when it comes to adapting and the original intent of the creator.
Yeah.
And that was a cash grab. It's the localizers and translators that are partly at fault here, because right now the core thing is respecting the work of the original creator has been the big thing. But alas, some translators have been, you know, some of the localizers have been a bit cheeky in this regard and trying to inject Western values into this sort of thing.
I suppose there's another way to look at this. See, most people are making the assumption that anime is made purely for airing in the US, and that's not how it is. Think of it like this. Think of it in a factory sense where a product is being manufactured. Let's say some cups, like little bowls and stuff. Okay. Now, out of it, the waste material is basically going to be these giant sheets with all these little holes in it. And you're a smaller company, and you can make use of the, you know, void space. So you start buying those sheets. Why do you have the right to turn around and say to, you know, the place you're buying the used material from, like, look, hey, you know, can you leave like these bigger spaces? Can you do this? Can you do that? It's like, no. If you want the super cheap ass shit, then you got to put up with the fact that you got to work around all these holes. And what makes anime special is that you've got something that's made for an audience. There is usually a better understanding about how a storyline goes. I mean, if you watch the subbed version and put the subtitles on of a anime, sometimes they make sense. But that's the point, is that what makes anime special is the fact that it has to be redubbed. That someone has to sit there and they have to do the work in order to make it, you know, understandable for majority of Western audiences.
It does, yes. And not necessarily when it comes to certain languages, they don't translate directly to another language. So they have to kind of interpret what they're trying to say.
And that's
very clear.
And that creates jobs. And it does. Should be supporting that. But when you turn around and you want to take the Western version of it and force the animators to make that, force the people in Japan to write that sort of story, then you're basically just, you're killing anime. I'm sorry, but I don't want to see another Velma. Just you, that sort of shit being made in bloody Japan. Well,
that's the whole I don't know, anecdote of like Lost in Translation, right? Telephone game. That's what happens when things get translated over and they're trying to convey a concept. Yeah, maybe they might not have the words for translating it into like different countries, and it makes it look weird or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen this many times with movies, with books. Hell, even like in English, we have that. Philosopher's Stone versus the Sorcerer's Stone. I mean, come on.
Don't forget about Dragon Ball Evolution.
Oh my goodness gracious. Yeah, you're right.
The only thankful thing that came out of that is the fact that it pissed off the creator of the Dragon Ball franchise so much that he went back and fixed the GT issue.
yep.
But understand that you upset a somewhat well-respected person so much that he said, right, fuck this.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's it, man.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, at the end of the day, like the closing statement I've got to say on this little item is that, well, it's good to know that the Japanese creators are speaking out and saying, no, leave our studios be and let us do the work that we want to do with our original vision. And, you know, and we really are thankful for our viewers abroad. We really love and appreciate the stuff we make for you.
That's good. And yeah.
And that's really, it's one of those things. So, with that aside, we shall move on to the next item that we've got for you. And this is a big saga. So, here's what I've got. Hypocrisy at its finest. After years of complaining about sexy female characters, Western video game industry publicly firsts over the cast of Hades 2.
Huh?
Here's one thing that I would just like to interject here. What gamer is complaining about sexy female characters? Which gamer is actually doing that? Is this a real thing?
Right. It's not the gamers. I don't know any gamer who complains about sexy female characters.
No, that's what they want. Yo, sex sells, man. Like, of course, that's what they want.
You know, and characters should be designed to look beautiful and aspirational.
Yes. And it's not even like they're sexually objectifying women. Like, it's not like people who are gamers go to this game to, you know, whack off to people like this. No, they actually want to play the game and escape from the world, have a good time, and have fun. That's the whole idea of gaming, right? So if these characters look a certain way, that really shouldn't have any kind of impact on what they want to do anyway. I mean, if they're gross looking and unhealthy and overweight or whatever. And, yeah, you don't want that.
Yeah, and now here's the thing. I don't know any gamer who complains about this, but now it is the game journalists and that what have you who are actually rejoicing on this. And now, here's the thing, an upcoming game called Hades 2 has currently released their character designs. They're in progress, you know, some of them finished, some of them are, you know, are works in progress, and then they said on their Twitters that they want to
Well, let's see what this paragraph says. It says, in a textbook example of the idiom, rules for thee, not for me, after years of chastising and decrying the general video game populace for enjoying attractive female character designs, the Western video game has responded to the recent reveal of Hades 2 as new character. Designs by publicly and proudly proclamating just how they'd like to sleep with every of them.
Yeah, it's a
bizarre twist. That's what the article said.
It really is a bit of a bizarre twist, isn't it, though?
But isn't that kind of what the game's all about? It's supposed to be a fantasy world, right? So if you're playing this game and you're like, yo, she's fucking hot. Okay, cool.
Yeah, cool. And here's the thing. Now, this upcoming game called Hades 2, like the first game Hades came out, it was... I won't really comment on it because I've not played it. And here's what the designs of some of the new Hades 2 characters. These are Greek icons, idols, whatever you want to call them. And a new one that they've redepicted is Hephaestus, and look at how they depicted him. The mythical blacksmiths have a portly and wheelchair-bound amputee.
Ah, okay. So back in ancient Greek times, I'm not sure exactly how they would go about dealing with that kind of situation. But this is a video game, mind you. It is. So it says, the next article, and despite having spent the past few weeks accusing anyone who dared to enjoy the attractive design of Stellar Blade protagonist Eve of being everything from incels to pornography addicts, near immediately after Hades 2 made its character reveals, members of the wider video game industry in particular, and unsurprisingly, in quotes, the video game journalists took the internet to celebrate just how sexy the aforementioned Greek gods. So what do you think about that?
I'm sorry, there's a Greek god of disability now?
Right?
No, there's not. No, that's not historically correct. That's ridiculous. Man, Athena is sexy-ass god of war, alright? She just is.
And you'd be right on point on that one, because consider, you know, we had a game like God of War that basically went about depicting these Greek gods, and now this depiction, wow.
That's what they say about it. Wow!
Like if they're making the god, you know, these gods so disabled and that and overweight, man, I don't think those civilizations have anything to fear.
Yo, ain't no god is disabled. Okay, let's be real. So they're not.
Curiosity. What's the point of this game? What's the like? What are you supposed to do in it?
Propaganda.
I mean, in Hades, it's a game of it's a very artsy combat, you know, action game.
All right, combat action type then.
Yes, like I said, well, I've not played on it, so I can't comment.
Let's read on the article. Jolt us.
I'll scroll down and show you the reactions to some of the designs that have been.
You know. No, I mean, scroll up a bit.
Okay.
All right, we have, it's very funny that there are chuds out there being like, the woke gaming journalists hate sexy women. Meanwhile, my entire timeline is hooting and hollering about these Hades 2 character portraits, proclaimed Lex Luddy, editor-in-chief,
yeah,
whatever.
Look at some of these.
Here we go.
Here. Let's have a look here. I'll zoom in a bit so you can see. Okay. All right. Okay.
I see nothing wrong with this.
Hmm. Yeah, nothing, you know. But here's some of the reactions to him, though. How the heck do they make him hotter? They must be stopped. And look at this. Look at how one person fursted over this.
Oh, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fine. So this is a character that's in the game, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is I imagine this is Aphrodite, the you know.
Aphrodite, yeah, okay.
Exactly. And so, but here's where the problem is, though. The problem that the whole Two-Face thing stems from nothing other than the wonderful Stellar Blade. Again, we've sort of talked about that, you know, that beauty is authentic because they scanned in a South Korean woman's likeness.
What?
So what? I mean, now all the gamers love Stellar Blade, how, you know, how beautiful she is. And only these people who fussed over the Hades characters found, oh, this is over-sexualizing a woman, Stellar Blade.
So this is my problem with this. Why are they opposed to having attractive women in video games? Are they? Because that's what...
I think it's the whole... Like we said earlier in the item, it's the double standards of what's sexy from what's sexy and all that.
All right, just hold up for a sec. So I googled Stellar Blade. Mm-hmm. Now I'm assuming this is the same game. 95% of people like this video game on Google.
Okay.
Right. And it's not just because of the character design. It's actually a damn good game that plays really well.
Yeah, that's really all that should matter at the end of the day, right? Of course it should. I don't care if you're black or white or, well, fat or gross looking. I mean, you have to be... It's a fictional universe, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is fine. Of course people wouldn't be offended. Why would they be?
Yeah, no. What's the reason to be offended over the design of Stellar Blade, right?
No, it's great.
People want to be seen as relevant, so they turn around and they find something to fight against.
It's a fictional game character, though. That's the freaking problem. Why are people so mad? What are they mad about? This is the weird freaking thing to me. I just don't get it.
It's a weird hill to die on, I getcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, so but do you want to read this paragraph here? Offering a similar...
Actually, you know what? Speaking of that sort of thing, I just skim read it, and it's... Yeah, look at it, though. You're right. Let's skip to this what they said. Aphrodite knows she's hot. You can tell by how she looks at you. Mm-hmm. Eve doesn't. She's posed, but expressionless. Hades, too, has a wide range of character skin tones, ages, and body type. Stellar Blade's women seem to only look like Eve.
I see. Aphrodite is shown from a low angle, and she has agency. She is powerful and intimidating figure. Eve stands blankly.
Goodness. Eve says, look, I mean, bit of an that's a bit of a cherry pick comparison right there.
It is, but honestly, they both look pretty attractive. You know, that's a good marketing tactic for a video game company to use. So okay.
But you know what though, and even then, I think you'd be surprised if you pick up Stellar Blade and see about all the outfits and the camera angles that are there on show. I really think you will be surprised.
Yeah, she's got her hair over the nipples, though.
So. Yes, well, you have to make it somewhat dignified.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's censored enough.
It's censored enough to be, yeah, just that, dignified enough.
I love this quote. Camera angles say it all. Camera angles say it all. Aphrodite is shown at a low angle.
Yeah, I know.
And she is. Oh, boy. I guess that's what they're going for.
Yeah, I think you'd be surprised as well. Like, again, like I said, if you watch some Stellar Blade stuff...
So I'm confused as to why they feel the necessity to add in like a god in a wheelchair.
Right. I mean, if he's all high and mighty, how the heck does a god end up in a wheelchair in the first place?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But that's never how they would be portrayed, like, historically. This is a video game, right? So, they're just... Whoever's in charge of this is just trying to make crap up.
Look, there's a show called Gods of Egypt. A movie.
Oh, yes, I've seen that.
They did disable one of the gods temporarily, but that's because he lost a battle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I could understand it if another god turned around and like dismembered another one so they couldn't walk. That would make sense. But if it's just because I've been lazy and eating too much,
Yeah, true. Oh, man. Right? If a god lost a battle, then, damn, that would suck.
Joel, do you see the comment at the bottom?
All fat bitches, maybe it's a mobile throne. Maybe it is a mobile throne. Just with moved by divine by semi divine power. Which you do you. You're a god.
Oh, here's a live comment from our chat from J Wolf.
What's the next thing? Yeah, are they gonna go after Lara Croft?
Yeah, are they gonna go after Lara Croft? They kind of already did.
Yeah,
like last year.
That's been done.
It's
gonna get worse.
You know what? They actually made that thing because they speaking of Lara Croft. The people who are in charge of the whole Tomb Raider remaster thing updated the game. They put in a patch and they removed some sexy posters of Lara Croft. But now the game was the game has got up, you know, took a bit of umbrage over it because it's censorship, and the said sexy posters are getting reinstated.
That's ridiculous. Isn't that freaking crazy?
I wonder if Rockstar Games would ever start doing this shit. Look, I can understand copyright and all because they lose like the rights to certain songs or whatever, but doing it just because to make it like better. Rockstar Games.
Yeah, better to who? And better for what? You know what? I love Lara Croft. She's awesome. She's like a female freaking hero. Tomb Raider, you know, whatever the crap. It's great. Why on earth do you have to censor her? Because what, she looks too sexy? Oh darn. Whatever. She's an attractive woman. And she does what she does. So who cares? That is just totally bonkers, man.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you want, again, like to go back to the whole thing, just to close out this whole what's it called?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I went out of a tangent there.
You know, if you want beautiful characters, there's just, you know, you can't have your cake and eat it. No, it just not.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, Lara Croft is cool. I don't care what anyone says. She's badass.
Yeah, and so is Eve from Cell Blade.
That's right.
I don't care what anyone says. I watched some of the stuff from Cell Blade. Woo, hot damn.
I'm curious what our next topic is, to be honest.
I think you're gonna have the floor for this one for the next two items.
Oh, goody!
Because I think it's pertinent to some of the stuff we've been watching, some of the TV shows we've been watching as of late. So I reckon, why not you take the floor and talk about, some TV shows. Like, I mean, I know there's things that people have been taking interest in as of late, such as, you know, Fallout.
Well, the Fallout to the Fallout show has been somewhat mild, to be interesting. I mean, no, really, I haven't seen any sort of like negativity being thrusted on the internet about it. And being that I watched it myself, the best scene that I came across the whole show is the one where the woman's basically getting waterboarded. Oh. And there's this like woke spiel about how, oh, torture doesn't work, torture is wrong, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, yeah, I saw a show years ago about how torture doesn't work and blah, blah, blah. And she goes, why are you torturing me? And his response is, well, the ghoul, I'm not torturing you, I'm using you as bait. And the look on the actress's face that she pulls was just gold. Now, if you want to have a so-called strong woman actor, I'm sorry, but the way this actress acted in, you know, the Fallout show was what I would call professional. She did a really good job. I liked the actual show. I enjoyed watching the show. The ghoul was basically a prick who'd been like stuck underground for a few hundred years. So, of course, he's going to act like an asshole. But what's nice is that the growth throughout the show seemed, how to put it, organic. I mean, selling the main character off for drugs is just a what do you expect in a wasteland sort of experience. But I swear, it's the moment where he goes, no, I'm using you as bait. It also teaches the useless assholes out there that just because you think that someone's actions are because of, doesn't mean that you're right. Jill, do you have anything for the Fallout show or news or whatever? Or
I think a lot of people were really expecting it to really crash out so badly. That's what a lot of gamers were worried about, that they were going to, you know, disrespect the whole series that Fallout has built upon, like the whole legacy it's built upon. Because, you know, gamers, they love Fallout 1, 2, 3, New Vegas. It's really dear to their heart.
I never played the games.
Me neither.
Had seen some gameplay. I understood the game existed. I'd seen some of the drama behind the actual game itself when it came to the gameplay, especially when they're like canning people who were figuring out that, the developers didn't lock this down. And then they get on a massive ban list. Whoops. But the show itself, I didn't feel that it was intimidating at all. I mean, the whole naivety of the main character was understandable, considering, here's how she was raised in a underground, you know, isolated community. So when she goes out into the world, it's complete naivety and has to learn that, you know, it's a great thing to show to a kid who's growing up. It's like, you can be naive, but just because someone's an ass to you doesn't mean that they're an ass altogether. I think it's a great show. I had fun with it. I can't wait for season two.
That's great.
All right.
Because, I mean, it's a bit weird. Like, the writing may come as a bit, what's it called? I mean, disjointed, because I think Fallout is a game that kind of takes itself seriously rather than does, you know, outlandish humor. But what do you make of the whole, what I want to know is, like, after having seen the show, like, what do you make of the whole, you know, the whole props, VFX, design, that sort of thing? Did you?
Well, I had already seen a lot of the props from the game. Now, I didn't study it like it was some lost treasure or anything, but it does somewhat seem out of place occasionally. But when you realize, look, this is a game that's been, they've reworked it into a TV show, it works. I mean, it's not like the original Sonic movie that they, the first Sonic movie they released, sorry, the rebranding of it, where Sonic was literally out of place.
Right.
In the actual show itself, the gadgets and stuff are at least, like, they fit in. The whoever was working on the show, when they made the props fit in. I mean, the Pit Boy thing on her wrist, on her lower arm, sorry, not the wrist, that looks a bit ridiculous, but it blends in with the show as it should without standing out in a gorish manner.
It does, right. So you would say that's more canon, right? Like, more yes. or less? Yeah. Yeah, okay.
What was disturbing for me, and in a good way, was at the end when she actually finds her mother and what happened to her, and it's like, oh. And the real adult thing is what she does at the end, and you sit there thinking, I was thinking, oh, okay, she's grown up. I'm not going to say what happened specifically, but you're like, oh. So even the things that were, like, bad in the movie, I found really creepy. That's that axolotl thing with the, like, human fingers. You're like, the fuck does that happen? And it explains it in a sort of, like, one scene later on, and you're like, oh.
It's still disturbing, though.
What I really liked is that when they thrust it in the black actors, they actually gave them proper roles. Now, I'm sorry, but if you want to have, like, a villain, you have to make it organic. You can't just have it, I'm blah, blah, blah. No, the main villain that they at least brought into the first series, you don't see much of her in the, like, main story, just in flashbacks. She was amazing! I am sorry, but if you want to go with that stupid bullshit about how, oh, you got to respect... Yeah, no, you don't have to respect black actors. You just have to bring in competent ones. And I'm sorry, but the actress in this, the ghoul, the main, there's the other main character who's a ghoul. You know, his wife is the main villain for the whole, it looks like, for this series. And the way she acts is just golden.
Yeah, deep.
You want to bitch and moan about how black actors, it's like, bring in competent ones, like you did with this show.
Bro, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, who cares? So long as you are able to do the part and you can convey the message, fuck yeah.
I want to see this actress playing a villain in another show. I'm sorry, but while I'm watching her, I'm thinking... Damn! I'd like to see her with a sword or something, you know, going after the quote-unquote hero of the show, because that'd just be cool with just how cold she is. In the meeting, the way she was speaking, it was amazing. But no, you have to have all this pride bullshit. It's like, no, you don't.
Nah, man. You don't need that. That's the whole... problem with, like, DEI, you know, diversity hire stuff. Like, yo, if you're good at your job, your skin color doesn't fucking matter. Who you sleep with doesn't matter. so long as you're a good actor or actress and like you can do the job, then there you fucking go. That's all that we should care about, right?
Well, you would hope, but no, people, the loud minority of people have to focus on weird shit. It's like, no, you just have to be a good actor. It's like with women comedians. I'm sorry, but the actress in this, the way she pulls stuff off, what was that Naked Gun actor? The dude in that, who basically just act like he was a professional police detective or whatever. It's like, nothing to see here. Everyone's like, everything around him is like falling apart. I'm sorry, but you could put this woman, the main character in this, her name, sorry. But you could put her in a similar sort of comedy. I mean, yeah, tone down a few things, but she'd fit in it. And not everyone can do that.
That's why I have a lot of respect for voice actors. You know, people who can do any kind of accent or do stuff like that. This is actually kind of a crazy story. There was someone who, remember Apu from The Simpsons?
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Well,
not because of the way
he was a white guy pretending to be an Indian, and he got canceled because he's not allowed to voice act someone who's not his own race. Isn't that fucked up? What the heck?
The best way I could put it is take Jim Carrey, for instance. When he's been in a dramatic role, it's always just been, the fuck's this guy doing? But you put him in a role where he's a comedian, you know, you got gold, like The Mask. But you can't always make The Mask. And I'm referring to the 1994 movie, not...
I know.
So what's next on the agenda? Unless, of course, someone else had something else to say.
Right now... I've been kind of looking at it here and there, and I think we're going to have to, speaking of TV shows and stuff that's actually kind of okay, like Fallout, on the other side of the spectrum, we have things such as Velma Season 2. And you got to ask yourself, why the heck are they continuing this?
I have to... They got a second season, honestly.
Why are you surprised? The amount of people and the amount of
down so bad, like I would imagine that they wouldn't have another one.
Avira, there was so much rampant nonsense on the internet about it that the people behind the show either already had like a guaranteed season two, or the kick up that was it basically said, "Yeah, no, we're doing a season two. Don't care."
Wow. Okay. So what's that going to be about? It's not going to be brains in a jar like it was last time. What are they going to do? Are they going to actually have Scooby-Doo? Because they didn't fucking have Scooby last time. What the heck? Is Scooby going to come in? I fucking hope so. Come on. We need Scooby.
And technically, the show's called Velma, so...
I know, but she's a member of the Scooby Gang, so where the hell is the dog? Just wondering.
Well, technically, the dog might not be born for like another 2 decades at this point.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't even know what kind of canon like this is, but you know, Velma was like a child when she met Scooby-Doo is a puppy, right? You ever see a pup named Scooby-Doo? You ever see it? On Cartoon Network? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, where is Scooby? Is he smoking weed with Shaggy? You know what the fuck?
That's the thing. I've been wondering too, but the thing I've been wondering with the whole Velma season two thing is how much further downhill can they take, well, Velma, this.
Do you have any news articles for Velma? Please, please have something.
I mean, all I'm looking at Velma 2 is just release dates. Velma season 2 is just release dates and the sheer fact that, what's it called? That it's just happening. And
wait, it's not already out?
No, it's not. It's in production as far as I know. I've seen some articles about this that they're still working on season 2. It's not released yet.
Not on the website, one of the websites that I frequent. They've already got a HBO Max sort of thing for it. It's like Knuckles. The Knuckles show has apparently been released.
Hey, at least the Knuckles show is actually kind of could actually be pretty damn good considering they've been handling the Sonic live action treatment, pretty damn well.
So far as I know, Velma has been greenlit for a second season. And that's what a lot of people have been talking about.
Yeah.
But
yeah, no,
there's no like images or anything like from production that we can like portray or anything like that.
Nothing really at that point, no. But but speaking of other good TV, stuff like that. That I did have an update that says, Sonic the Hedgehog 3 movie, they finally finished filming it.
Okay.
So I think we all kind of know that's going to come out. And then, we all kind of know they teased, if you watched it, especially if you watch all the way to the bonus credit scene after the credits, you'll know that another favorite is returning, but you'll never guess who's going to be voicing this said favorite, Shadow the Hedgehog. Yeah.
Oh, who?
Is it the same guy that did it last time? Or
no. Shadow Hedgehog is going to be voiced by Keanu Reeves.
Oh, no way! Really?
Oh, no. This is going to be sick.
Okay. Shit. I didn't know about this. John Wick. Okay. So Keanu Reeves is going to be voicing Sonic.
Sonic the Hedgehog. He's gonna be voicing the edgy, dark and edgy thing. Oh my
god! This is going to be very interesting. I hate to say it, but Keanu Reeves seems like the absolute perfect person to put in as a voice actor.
I was just about to say, man, he's a good actor. He can totally pull this off. I have high hopes.
I'm sorry, but with time, who played Luke Skywalker? Mark Hamill plays. He's a voice actor for a lot of the Jokers in the animated shows for DC, and he does it so perfectly that you can't imagine anyone else doing it. But this is
Keanu Reeves,
with his movie portfolio and considering the type of character that Shadow is, someone definitely hit the nail on the head.
See,
I'm wondering how much budget this movie has. Like, they're gonna have to have tens of millions of dollars because they're gonna have to pay him a lot of money to be on here.
Well, I imagine since they're not going to be having a particular popular actor playing a skinny fat guy, I'm pretty sure they're going to have the money for it.
Yeah, you're right. Well, I mean, Reeves is like an A-list celebrity, so let's see what this article says here.
Well, let's have a look here. You know what? So, this is what they have to say about Reeves, Or even,
Hayden Christensen.
Hayden Christensen was going to be signed for the voice of Shadow the Hedgehog. And then, I was approached by somebody that I recognize very well, and somebody that, I can't say who it is, at least half of you recognize and know to say their name. And he said, you know Hayden Christensen is not the voice of Shadow. It's like, really?
Then that's what we were talking about earlier. Hayden Christensen is Anakin Skywalker.
And yet,
quote, and yet I now said, I figured because he's not here, I'd like to have the thought. I'd have the thought
they brought him out on stage. No, we're not going to announce it publicly yet. And then after, you know, CinemaCon, he said, yeah, it's Keanu Reeves. It's done.
Yep.
It's
fine. Yep. Oh, cool. Okay.
And you know what? It's like, it's kind of perfect too, you know? Jay Silver says, oh, hey, thanks for showing up. And it works. Think about it. Shadow the Hedgehog used guns. John Wick as well. I mean, you can't really fault the logic there.
I mean, Keanu Reeves, like, he was fighting Agent Smith back in The Matrix. That was some bonkers stuff, man.
Mm-hmm.
He's done a lot of
work. And then, you know, he got his foray into, you know, video games thanks to, like, Cyberpunk 2077. But, you know what, I think for the personality of someone like that, you know what, I think they really got the casting, like, 10 out of 10.
I think so, actually, yeah. This is a good role for him. I can totally see him as voicing Sonic, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Shadow the Hedgehog, completely.
Yeah, totally, man.
Keanu Reeves voicing Sonic, that would be a fucking baller.
I know, right? Yeah. Well, hey, I'd go see it. Would you? I would.
Yeah, I would for sure see Sonic the Hedgehog, you know, the third movie. 100%.
Yeah, totally.
I'm completely with you on that one.
Even if, like, Dr. Robotnik was, like, totally defeated last time. Spoiler
alert. Yeah, but he still isn't Thingo yet. I mean, of course.
Yeah, he's not dead.
Yeah, Jim Carrey's coming back.
And, oh, cool.
And all that stuff. So, yeah, I guess I'm really excited for it, straight up.
Right on.
So, and I'd say this is pretty much what we've got for the week that passed.
Yep.
Yeah, it's quite a stunner, isn't it, though? What do you guys think? Like, what do you guys like to close up with?
Well, let's see. Noble, any closing thoughts?
Well, Sonic was a bit of a shock for me because I didn't find out about that before until now, and it's like, sweet. The whole Fallout thing, I really can't wait for season two. Sorry, I was thinking of Velma. It's I've heard that they've doubled down on the show, and let's just say I should be able to watch it hopefully tomorrow.
Okay.
Good enough, I suppose. And what about you, Avira?
Well, gotta say, I am more optimistic than I was coming into this episode. Because I'm a big fan of Keanu Reeves, honestly. So, we will see what happens. Aside from that, I don't know, guys. I hope you have a fantastic night. I really don't have too much else to say.
No, that's perfect. That's a perfectly good note to end it on, though. and saying that, thank you all for tuning in. And I hope you enjoyed this as much as we did making this show. And it's been quite a heck of a ride. So, as always, you can always find our show on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Zeta.fm, iHeartRadio, BitChute, and more. We're down the line. Alrighty. And our last comment before we end off the note, Jay says, looking great, Candy Corn Doggo.
Hey! Ah!
Core.
Right
core.
On, buddy.
Core. All right. And so to sign us out, well, this is us saying farewell. Till next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Mobile phone!